Here we go.
What was your time today, by the way?
5:55 or something.
What's the board?
Number one or number two? My best time is 5:16.
What's do you know what the top score is on the board?
4:20-something.
So you're not too far off.
No. But I did all the reps today. Person first may not have. So. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. And right. We'll be removed from the podcast.
That's funny. Colette, how'd you do today?
7:44, but I didn't go heavy enough. It was good though. It was a good workout. Why didn't I go heavy enough?
I mean, it wasn't on purpose.
Well, kind of. Well, not on purpose. It was only because I thought that if I added more weight, then it would have been too heavy.
You don't
want
to get pinned in the round of 15 and then end up going 4 minutes over right. Having everyone watch.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought would happen. So I didn't want to die.
I got through the second round of three total rounds, and that was because I went RX out of a fit of egotism.
You ever gone RX?
I always go RX, and I never finish. Welcome to No Rep CrossFit, episode 1.3. We're going to talk about competition today.
Coming to you live from Pioneer Valley CrossFit. In the back room, we have our office pack, which is a nice change of pace. We're not outside.
But we always like to tell you that we are not affiliated directly with Pioneer Valley CrossFit or with any other organization. And we've got Colette with us to talk about competition in CrossFit. I guess why don't we just sort of open it up and kind of talk about kind of the people we know and their approaches to competition in CrossFit and how they handle it or deal with it and kind of see what themes grow out of that. So, Colette, why don't you kind of tell us how long you've been at CrossFit and what it's like for you on a day-to-day basis and what your sense is of the, you know, to the extent that you're competitive here.
So I've been doing CrossFit for almost a year now, and I find that people tend to be more competitive with themselves or with parallel peers that are like them and their abilities to do things. But when I first started out, I walked in and was like, the 4:15 class, which is don't do that class if you're a newbie or even the new 5:30, because it can get intimidating and you see these people do all these difficult things and you think, wow, I can never do them. But yeah, I tried and instantly got put on probation. So,
wait, what? You got put on probation?
Yes.
Like what does that even mean?
The first month of my CrossFit membership, I was put on probation.
Who put you on probation?
Mile put me on probation the first month. I had a serious talk. I was automatically typed as, like, I was stereotyped as an at-risk athlete, and they had a meeting about me.
Do you think that's a problem with people coming in and wanting to, who have worked out or have an athletic background, wanting to jump right into, you know, more advanced movements, more heavy weights than things that they're actually ready for, but because of that competitive drive, they see other people doing that, right? So they want to do that. Do you think people fall into that trap?
I definitely do. Either you become so frustrated with yourself that you might want to quit, but that's not my personality, or intimidated that you just give up. But it's definitely hard when you're used to being an athlete and used to being able to do certain things, and you come in and you can't, and you want to try them, and they're making, you know, for safety reasons, and I understand they're making you take 1,000 steps backwards to take 5 steps forward. So that's definitely very frustrating when you first start.
Now there's the whole other side of the scale, which is, you know, we talked about this earlier, but it never got onto the recording. But you know,
what was that?
That was
who forgot to hit save.
Who didn't hit save on the original version of this?
Just because you go faster doesn't mean it's better.
Yeah. Movement quality.
Let's get back on topic here. Talking about Katie's ridiculous feat of Chuck Norris last Friday. Chuck Norris, the Filthy 50, 10 movements of 50 reps each. And she came in and she was quite clearly very aware of the whiteboard here at Pioneer Valley CrossFit and getting up onto the whiteboard and put up her own crazy number. She put up something like 18 minutes and change, and then Katie basically smashed it and did just over 17 minutes. Seth, what's the, and I think Seth, you're more along the lines of the person who's looking at the whiteboard. So what's the whiteboard, and how do you deal with it?
Right. So I always think that there's two different type of competitive people who come in, right? There's the whiteboard with all the best scores for X workout, whatever it is, right? There's people who come in and they're at a level where they look at that and that's their goal, is I want to better my time on that board. I want to get on that board. I want to beat this time on the board. And then there's the people who come in and look at the workout of the day board and they see what the workout is, and they're looking to do, they're competing against themselves. They're looking to do level two, almost level three, maybe do some of the level three movements. There's people who are competing against that workout itself every day, or competing against themselves to see how good they can be at that workout. They're not necessarily trying to get the best score, right? They're trying to get the best score for themselves, not the best score in the gym. I think those are two different things that happen here, and both occur simultaneously in the same class right next to each other, which is something that's interesting to watch and to see when you're viewing, right?
Just, and not to get off on a tangent, but it's interesting that there's also a diversity of people's backgrounds, especially at Pioneer Valley, where you can be working next to somebody who's a 15-year-old kid who just started high school, and on the other side of you is, you know, a family doctor, and then there's a social worker, and then there might be somebody who's in college,
right.
And that doesn't necessarily dictate in any way what their athletic ability is.
Right. It's just fun to see the different types of competitive nature that's going on. I could be working out next to someone and I get a very good score on Fran and I'm really happy with it. And the person next to me is just happy that they could do the level one version of the workout, and we're both just as excited for that. And those are two different types of competitive things that are happening in the same space. It's not always competing against each other. Like, what do you think about that?
I tend to have I'm always want everyone to be having a good time and to feel like they're part of the program. And I always have a concern. I know for me personally, I'm always trying to be maybe better than I think I am in a given day. I'm always looking at the board and trying to be at the top, and there are very few workouts can I get there. But I also look at people who are maybe not as advanced athletically, and for some reason in my mind I'm concerned that that might make them feel like they're not part of the group in some way. And maybe that's a bias on my part, but I feel like if I'm looking at people and I always want to see who's putting out an amazing effort for themselves. And it's one of the things I love about CrossFit, is you can be the last person coming through the door, and you might even get more cheers than the person who finished first.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what, there's, you know, you come into the WAD and you are one group, but there are other subgroups of athletes because you're discussing similar places that you're at. So, you know, maybe if you're a newer person or you don't pull as much weight, you're not going to be talking or pairing up with someone who does. So I guess in that way, that does bridge a small gap. But I think overall, everyone's very friendly. And I do, that's why I find I have my friend group set here, and then I have the people that I work out with here, especially lifting weights. Like today I was lifting with Sebastian, and how old is he? He's
like 15, I think.
15, yeah. And I've also lifted with Kathy, who is...
Not young.
Older than I. And so it's not, you know, I've been with all different kinds of people because of my ability when it comes to the lifts, but then... when it comes to anything like aerobic wise, then like that set changes for me.
Not to say that Colette gets around when it comes to Pioneer Valley CrossFit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, sounding impressive. I mean, I think that's one. This is an inherently competitive environment, whether it be for one of those, any of those reasons, competing against yourself, against other people. I think that we all like to see the person who's really pushing at the end of the workout, right? Who's that? we had said it on the podcast that wasn't recorded, but when you see...
we'll keep bringing up back to...
There'll be at least four more references. when you see that person, you know, at the end, who really pushed themselves and they're on the ground, you never see someone upset or frowning. They're always, once you catch your breath and you get your bearings, it's always a smile, right? It's always, you're happy that you could do the best that you could during that workout, which is fun to see.
I saw you look at the board today.
Yeah.
Before we did our front squats.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, the workout was Elizabeth, and I wanted to see what my time was to see if I could get anywhere close today. I did not. It's having done a whole bunch of cleans and bench press yesterday, followed by a 5x5 front squat before, wasn't conducive.
Oh, I thought you were looking for the front squats. I thought you were looking at today's board. You were looking up at the board for Elizabeth.
Well, I also looked at today's board because I have no idea what I was supposed to be front squatting. Because 82% seemed like a very odd number.
82% of your one rep max. Right. Always seems lower than it's supposed to be to me.
Yeah. So I was just looking to see what people of similar strength had gone at, which is one of the key skills or key things that's nice about having names written on board with scores, right, from earlier in the day.
What do you think I'm sorry.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I did the same, too. I went to the board to see what people did to help me make my decision.
Yeah.
Who do you think has a good – let me just back up and say that, you know, we're not talking about competitiveness at CrossFit just out of the blue. It's something that, and correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of baked into the programming. I mean, it's when you come into CrossFit, the workout of the day is a specific workout. You're working out, right? Everybody's doing the same workout, modified in some way. Mm-hmm. People are expected to write their scores on the board. Mm-hmm. If there's an online program like we have SugarWad, you're putting your score up onto the electronic board. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of inherent comparing, and I think that it's designed that way to get people to work out intensely because of the nature of CrossFit. You know, one of the things that separated it as it came out was high intensity training is better than, you know, going out and running, you know, 40 minutes or doing 40 minutes of slow cardio. So that having been said, who do you think has a good approach to competitiveness or the way they handle all of that in the gym? Does anybody jump out at you as like, oh, that's somebody who's fun to be in a workout, or that's somebody who gets it?
For me, I like watching Tim Ramos work out because, you know, first of all, he's a great guy, and he's, you know, fun to be around and everything, and we're of similar skill level. He's better than me at some things, I'm better than him at some things, so that's fun. But he has an inherent ability to just make himself suffer through any workout, like, really hurt himself and just push through. I don't know how he does it. I don't have that. I don't have that place. I don't think a lot of people do, so it's fun and interesting to watch him do things like that really push him. And I've never seen him really break in a workout. Have you guys?
No.
He's at home in the pain cave. Yeah. I actually judged him during an open workout. I think it was 17.1, where it was burpee box jump overs.
Yeah.
And he did the first set, and he jumped entirely over the box.
Yeah.
All the way back and forth. And I asked him about it after, and he said it was the only way he could think of to just get himself revved into a different gear.
Yeah.
But it was amazing to see. I mean, I wouldn't even have thought of it.
So it's just fun for me to watch someone like that work out. And I'm sure there's other, you know, other people. But it's just something I don't have, so I like seeing that in someone else. So I wish I did. Maybe I don't wish I did, but...
Yeah. What about you, Colette? Is there anybody who jumps out at you?
Actually, both Katie Monahan and Liz L. I've seen Katie just won't put that bar down. Like, everyone else in the world is doing these crazy wads during the open, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and she just is doing these cleans or whatever she's doing, and her rest is not even putting the bar down. Most people will put the bar down and take a break. She just won't do it. She just keeps powering through. And I've seen Liz just... especially when it comes to bar work or certain rods, like, she goes so hard that she literally, when she drops, like, she just drops and she's done. Like, she doesn't leave anything out there. She gives all it all every time there's maybe like a wad like an Elizabeth or things like that. So it's very inspiring to see those girls do those things.
I'm just thinking of people who have a completely different, but I think totally healthy approach to it, where they just go at their own pace regardless of the stressors coming going on around them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are the people that I look at and I just have so much respect for them, because they're like, no, today I'm going to do it at this rate. And that's quite all right. Thank you very much. And I'm going, you know, like I think of someone like PJ is in great shape and he does amazing work. And I, you know, he's become very strong. He's worked very hard at things like his squats. But he'll kind of jokingly say, no, Tony, I'm a level 2 athlete.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always saying, hey, come on, go RX. And he's, no, I'm a level 2 athlete. And I think he's got a pretty good attitude.
I mean, look at those people that we just named, and there's 3 or 4 different types of competitive nature in all those different people, right?
Yes, very much.
So they all just mesh and blend together in one place here.
And all very good natured, too. Like, no one gets upset or trash talks except Seth.
And nobody ever gets mad and drops F-bombs during any of the workouts.
Except for Tony.
Well, just like our movements, we all have our things that we know we need to work on, and it's okay for me to point yours out.
That's right.
But if you point mine out, we have a problem.
That's a big problem. You know, there is definitely the downside of competitiveness. I mean, I don't know, do you guys feel like you see, and you don't have to name names, but anybody whose competitiveness is either, you think is either ugly or you think is hurting them in the long run?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially during the Open, like you said, Colette, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but that brings out the best and the worst in people, for sure. A lot of pouting in that, lots of really happy, cheerful, excited people, but there is there is pouting, and there is frustration, for sure, that comes out.
I just wanted to win best costume every single week, and I didn't.
And there was some pouting involved.
And there was.
I
didn't even get first place. Yeah. Not once. And I tried really, really hard.
You brought the cheer.
I brought the cheer.
There's generally one type of person who does, competitive person who does competitions, and it's people who really want to win. I mean, you don't see a lot of people who, they always have the scaled versions and stuff, which is fun, but.
Yeah. And some people are just competing to be the prettiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best body.
I mean, we've mentioned it a couple times. We should touch on the Open and what that is and what that means, right? The CrossFit Open. Do you want to explain it, Tony?
So the CrossFit Open is the first round in a 3-round competition that ultimately crowns the supposedly fittest man and fittest woman on earth. So
asterisk,
right? So anyone who does CrossFit can join the Open competition. The Opens typically are hosted at all of the different CrossFit boxes, and it's one workout per week for 5 weeks. And on the given, you know, they post the each workout online the night before, and everybody gets all excited about it, and you come in the next day and you have somebody judge you, and you sometimes are judging someone else, and you're doing whatever, you know, whatever everyone else is doing in the competition. So it's the one time of the year when you're literally competing against everyone who does CrossFit in the entire world.
You know, 200,000 people, right?
Right. Right.
Worldwide.
Right. And you log your time in, within a couple of days you have to record your time, and then you can see how you stack up against literally the rest of the world of CrossFitters.
So it's one of those baked-in CrossFit things where once a year everybody who does CrossFit is competitive at some level, whether it's them being competitive against the actual workout, which in recent years has been very tough for some people to just do the workout as prescribed and not have to do the scaled version, or whether it's people trying to compete against people within their gym, people within their state, in the world, in the country, in the region. There's just a number of levels, right, that we all look at.
Right. And so on the most competitive side, you know, there are people who start at the Open and they know they're going to end up at the Games, you know. Mm-hmm. Josh Bridges is going to be at the Games every year. The daughters, I don't know, the Katrin, what are their names?
I don't know
some of their names, but in Katrin, any event.
Yeah.
Kara Webb. Right?
Car web.
Yeah, there's just the people who are at a certain level, right? And this is just something they have to do, right? Right. To get through.
Right. But for us, the game.
This
for
is
us,
it.
The open is the game.
This is it. Yeah.
None of us are going anywhere.
And it's, I mean, it's super healthy. 5 weeks of the most brutal, visceral workouts that can be written for that year with, you know, 2 to 3 days rest in between. It's really, really good for your body.
Colette, this was your first open this year. What did you think?
Yes, I participated in the scaled version, and some of the workouts at scaled were challenging, and others, the scale was so far removed from the work that the level 3 or as prescribed workout was. So I had fun. For me, it was a good just benchmark, baseline, fun time with everybody. So that next year I'll probably do it scaled again and just see my growth. And then after that, I'll probably, we do Friday Night Lights, so you can choose to actually participate in the open or just do the workout and scale as you need if you just do Friday Night Lights, which I think I'll do in the future, because personally, the weights that they do as prescribed for the open, I will never be able to even pick the bar up. So the workout would be over for me before I started.
And that, by the way, is essentially because of your size.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah. And I don't want to gain 100 pounds to lift the bar up. So I think that for me, that because of the prescribed weights, I would just stick to the doing my own scaled version in the future. But I found it fun. I love the energy. It's fun watching the workouts get released every Thursday night. You feel a part of this fun community. And then it's also quite humorous as I sit there and sip my cider, because I always would go heat one or two, watching other people maybe pow or throw bars or cheer people on who never got to do things before, and create their own new PRs and things. So that was probably it for me.
Seth, you've done a couple of them. What do you think?
So for me, the first time I did it, it was I want to just complete all the workouts as prescribed, right? And the more times I do it, for me, there's certain movements and things I can't do because of injury or just whatever that I'm not proficient at. There's always going to be something in it that I'm going to take a huge hit on as far as my overall standing. So I like to look at it more of a small competition within the gym, just amongst, you know, your friends and whoever, see who does better. But you look worldwide and in the region, for me, individual workouts, like one that I do well on, I like to see how well I can do in that. This year I only repeated one of the workouts. I like to just do them once and then that's that. So it's tough to gauge on an overall basis, because there is going to be that one workout where you can lose 100,000 spots because you didn't want to hurt yourself or you didn't want to push through something that was bothering you, right? But I think it's fun. It's interesting to see how you stack up against people your own age, people in your state, people in your gym. It definitely brings out your weaknesses, which is part of that. A lot of serious competitors will look at this year and they did poorly on the handstand push-ups. So you see people in here doing handstand push-ups, you know, at least once a week for the next year, right? Because they don't want to have that competitive loss again.
Like God forbid they end up, you know, they might move up 700 spaces and be 10,000 instead of
right.
10,700.
And that's how people works. For some people, for me, it's not. But if I'm 30, for some people, if I'm 30,000, it's not as good as me being 29,000 last year, right? And that's how it is. You see people
sure.
that are like that
yeah.
and they get pissed
yeah.
because they were down 1,000 places this year. Like, that's going to make the difference between them making it to the games or not.
By the way, your weakness, I think you've already made it clear, is chocolate donuts.
Yeah, I like those. I like them. Anything with sugar is a problem. If you had, you know, listened to the previous podcast, which I'm sure all six of you have. What does the open mean for you? Is it more competing against yourself, or is it competing against others?
I think, again, it's competing against myself, and trying, you know, I'm still at the place where I'm trying to do all of the workouts as prescribed, or I should say I am doing them as prescribed, but there's always one, sometimes two, where I can do almost none of it because there might be something that has overhead squats in it, and I just can't do overhead squats.
Like this year.
So when it came to the workout that was overhead, the overhead squats was the second movement in the workout. I just did the first movement, and then that was it.
But you're the type of guy where I've seen you in here overhead squatting every single day for the last 3 months, right, since we opened?
Yeah, I am that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or zero times, one or the other.
If I just completely give up.
Right, right. Yeah.
Or that means that I've gone too hard and I've hurt myself.
Right, one or the other, right?
You do see, though, that the minute like they throw it out there and everyone does the workout like 7 times and then mm-hmm. everyone's just working their best to get those handstand push-ups or their re-muscle-ups or they're working to get the weight better.
What do you think it says about human nature that we do that, though? I mean, like, I could find myself being competitive, but, like, I can be very realistic that, like, I'm not competing against Josh Bridges.
Right.
You know, I'm never going to have the mustache he has. End of story.
Right.
You know?
Or the long, flowing locks.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But somehow in my mind, I can have a very competitive experience in this life, and I don't even know who I'm competing against.
Right,
no
right.
idea what my competition is.
You can go on the scoreboard and click the person above you and below you, and you'll never see that person or meet that person, and they're in Latin America, they're in Brazil, and you know?
And it's, yeah.
Yeah, you'll redo the workout.
Right,
so right, but people really fight to beat that person.
Yeah. In
right.
fact, we redid one in Florida. Like, we were on vacation in Florida, and
yeah.
we redid a workout.
Although you completely kicked my ass on our ad hoc workout on the beach.
Yeah.
So you took the Florida Open this year.
Yeah.
Take
it's just funny that you see that come out in people who normally, throughout the rest of the year, don't really care about meeting other people within the gym, but they care. I think sometimes people who are games level athletes do get caught up in the competitive aspect, and you can watch their workouts online, right? And they kind of, I don't want to say they short some of their reps or their reps aren't as clean, but you see that. And
they are.
And it drives me crazy when you see that, you know, certain people, whatever.
I told
you. We all know. It just, but they don't need to do that, right? They're better athletes and better at CrossFit than all of us. They don't need to short reps. They're still going to be fine. They're still going to make it. But they do. And I think that sets a bad precedent for people.
On the missing podcast, I remember I'd shared that when I first started toes to bar and I got called out for doing knees to elbows. I thought I was doing it right because I was watching a lot of other people not do it right, thinking that was the way you actually did toes to bar.
Were any of those people in this room?
They might have been in this room. I'm not going to name names.
No more than two, though.
There couldn't have been more than two people doing it.
So, no, I think that I remember that conversation when you were telling me that you couldn't understand why you kept getting called out when you were doing a perfectly legal toes to bar.
Yeah.
And then I watched and you were like doing knees to elbows and you were like, yeah, but that's what everyone else does.
Some of those top level athletes get caught up in that competitive nature that they have, which is a different level than, you know, all of us. But people emulate them. They don't realize that, you know, and that's...
That they're not good at.
It's tough to see sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would rather... I'd rather be, like, have things pointed out to me, but not in the middle of a WOD, so that I can fix it than create a bad habit of always doing it wrong, especially that I'm starting out. And I...
Well, if you don't have any bad habits, Colette, then you're not going to fit in here.
How are you going to get the bad habits if you don't work out consistently?
Right.
Right? You have to develop them. They don't just come out of nowhere.
Right.
Very true.
But no, but that's a fair...
Have you seen my row? Have you seen me row?
Yeah, it makes my stomach hurt.
I know that I've seen what you call rowing.
Right.
I don't think that can be fixed.
Well, but that brings up an interesting point. But, you know, we talked about it in the Long Lost podcast that what, you know, the competitiveness gets reduced to reps. And
right.
and sometimes, if you've been here for 4 years, you don't get called out on your reps.
You don't.
Right.
If you've been here for 4 months, you do get called out on your reps.
Yes, you do. And when you start to be able to do things, like you finally get off those ring rows and you can start doing a pull-up or a push-up, they notice and you get called out on if you're not locking your arms out or your chest isn't hitting the ground.
I can tell you that the times that I've gotten most pissy in workouts is when I've gotten called out.
Yeah. I also don't think I've locked my arms out since, like, 2015. on anything.
I'm convinced that you have elbows that just fail to lock.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been going for. It's taken 2 years, but I really finally convinced people my arms do not lock out.
Wait, who was it who was saying the other day that they were locking out their arms when they just, like, they just were not even getting there?
I think pretty much everybody. During Murph, when those push-ups are...
Murph, you've got two options, right? You can either do the worm, right, where you're just rolling your belly up, right? Or you can do the non-lock.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure that there's any other way to do Murph.
You can hit failure and then wait 25 minutes for your push-ups to come back. I mean, I think locking out your arms is bad for your elbows anyways.
Yeah, you don't want to stack all your weight on those joints.
No way.
Seems like a bad idea. Anything else?
I got nothing.
Nothing.
All right. That was podcast 1.3.
Remember to visit Tarte Bakery.
Yeah. Thank you, Colette, for coming on here.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Well, everyone else canceled, so.
True.